You're listening to Ask the CIO, brought to you by CenturyLink. Now, here is your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office's Chief Information Officer. John, this is a return engagement for you, so welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
Well, it's been about 18 months since we last spoke, March 2011, and there was a lot of priorities you outlined at that time. So I want to start there and then maybe work forward to some of your newer priorities. But among your top priorities last time was to update and modernize the end-to-end patent system, and that's a big focus, I know, from not just your office, but for the entire agency. Give me a sense, how's it going?
Well, very well, actually. When last we spoke, I went over our modernization roadmap, an effort started back in 2008 to really take care of the infrastructure of our organization and to build that solid foundation on which to build the next generations of patents and trademarks IT systems. So the modernization roadmap's gone very well. Out of the 9 initiatives in it that covered everything from network infrastructure to basic connectivity to system virtualization, we've completed 7 out of the 9 programs, 100% successful, on time, under budget. And we'll clean the rest up at the beginning of next quarter.
Wow. 7 of 9, 100% successful, on time and on budget. Now, we're going to talk about the Agile development system in a little while later, but give me a sense of how you're able to find so much success, because as you well know, many times projects don't go as planned.
Well, that's true. One of the things that we really did was trying to build a brand new culture here at USPTO. One of the, quite honestly, hardest things that I've ever had to do anywhere was build a brand new culture. And in federal government, I must say, it's much more difficult than in private industry. But the culture here was oriented towards the results. You know, at the end of the day, there's a famous quote, there is no such thing as an IT project. There are only business projects with IT components. And that was by the CEO of Chubb Corporation. And that is quite caught on quite here. We have posters all around the office. We have a clear mission and vision set forward. And it was about the drive to modernize and to fix so much that had been neglected in prior years. And that's everything from fixing processes and procedures to retiring legacy applications to lower the costs of operations and maintenance for the agency to then shift that money to capital investment. When I took over here at the USPTO, over 85% of our money every year was allocated for operations and maintenance, basically keeping things limping along. We paid for a lot of products and services just because they were there. Over the last few years, continuous scrubbing twice a year of the budget, very finely and detailed, has helped us refine to lower our O&M costs to about 50%. All the rest of that money that was, you know, has been reallocated to what we call SIF funds or cap investment funds. That allows us to continue to build the new systems, which then allow me to turn off the legacy systems, therefore reducing operations and maintenance. That's a great cycle to get into that's really helped push the modern culture forward by identifying what is important to the business and meeting those needs and throwing everything else into the bucket of priority for a later date or not doing them at all.
That's amazing. The 35% reduction in your O&M costs. I think, you know, one of the things you hear from the Office of Management and Budget and Federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel time and again is we got to move from OPEX to CAPEX. How are you able to do that? I mean, you talk about the scrubbing twice a year of the budget, but it's got to be more than that as well.
Well, it starts with strong leadership. Certainly having Mr. David Kapos here, a strong leader from IBM, here to set the standard, a very strong and firm standard. Also, his understanding of IT has been paramount to doing this and to really challenging the business units of what they need and what they don't. And we set a very high bar. Now, on the side, we still have to keep things moving, and we have continued load on legacy systems that were not designed for anywhere near Six Sigma operations. I think I described it before. We still have mainframes here. We still have COBOL and AGOL software written on some of these machines. But we have slowly migrated it onto a modern virtualized platform, keeping the costs low, writing it in modern languages, everything from C++, it's still in use, or Java, which is mostly what we do our work in. And keeping it in a virtualized environment helps those dollars stretch farther in capital investment. And then limiting the amount of change to the legacy applications keeps the O&M lower. So asking the question each and every time with the business unit as partners. Is this an IT project that moves the business forward? What benefit does it have to the business, or can it wait for a later date when we have a more modern patent or trademarks system? And that's a hard choice sometimes to make. Sometimes we do modify legacy systems to keep the business moving, but that choice is now the forefront question asked instead of the last thing asked or never asked at all.
And you said 7 of 9 are completed. The other 2 will be completed first quarter of 2013. What are the 2 outstanding initiatives?
I hate to say it. It's my service desk. I'm rolling out ITIL here as a standard for configuration and change management. It's a pretty strict standard compared to what I have today. And that's met with some slight difficulty with the culture accepting it. I wouldn't say it's impossible. It is about a quarter to a half a year behind. The other one is our backup disaster recovery site. Today, as opposed to in 2008, all of our data is backed up well out of this region, protected under a mountain, literally. So we have no fear there, but I wanted a completely operational second site to take over operations if this site were damaged or not accessible for any reason. And we are a little bit behind on that, about a quarter behind. Not so much with the money, just with the time.
Well, as you said, you hope to get those done in the first quarter of 2013. Now, all of this goes around, as you said, as part of the end-to-end patent system. When we talked last time, it was shortly after, I think, President Obama highlighted the issues around the patent system in the State of the Union address in 2011. And when we talked, you said at the time, hey, you know, we kind of expected it, but, you know, you never really know until the president actually said something, but you had a lot of focus. Is the patent system itself better than it was? Is the backlog being reduced? Are things in a more modern state?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to give out the big surprise on the patents backlog, but it has continued to decline continuously. I'm sure we will announce very soon, if we haven't already, in a press release, the current numbers, but it's looking very good. Remember that the USPTO, as far as a CIO's point of view, we're really like a manufacturing organization. The examination takes place on the machinery. That machinery is IT. So without these improvements to the system and the modernization of the system and keeping the system up and available longer, we wouldn't have had many of these improvements. And certainly from where we were before, our downtime is measured in single-digit percents per hour of year instead of double digits. So we've made vast strides there. But the new systems, which we'll be rolling out, in fact, the first delivery to a group of volunteer examiners will happen in November for patents and late next year for trademarks, really sets a new precedent on how we're going to deliver modern user-centered design applications built agilely on fully modern web platform, totally virtualized. With 100% uptime, or what they call 99.9999% uptime, or Six Sigma, since there's always a possibility that something will go wrong.
That's true. I mean, one of the things that keeps most CIOs up at night. What could go wrong? On that note, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about that trademarks effort. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office Chief Information Officer.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Game over.
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services, so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications. Products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office's Chief Information Officer. Now, John, before break, we were talking about the efforts around improving the end-to-end patent system, and you mentioned, obviously, some trademark pieces of the new system around trademarks as well. Give me a status of that effort. Last time you mentioned it, you were really in the beginning stages of that, improving the trademark system.
You know, the interesting thing is patents, we call it patents end-to-end because patents never had a singular, complete end-to-end processing system electronically, as was pointed out by the president. Trademarks, however, does. Unfortunately, their system is quite what we would call archaic. When I had mentioned earlier several mainframes running COBOL and AGOL code and legacy custom-built databases and lots of other things that caused the system to be fragile, I was really speaking about trademarks. So trademarks has a good, solid electronic process. Their data is in full electronic form, and they have been quite modern for quite some time, but they need a technology refresh. So trademark next generation is just that, the next evolution of electronic processing for trademarks. Now, as opposed to patents end-to-end, which has all kinds of change and looks really glitzy and glamorous because you went from basically a very few things to one big, huge, modern, pretty system, trademarks is not doing that. The bulk of the projects we have completed, and we've done several prototypes, completed a project to figure out how to take the data out of the legacy environment and put it in a modern system, one that not only takes in text and pictures, but also audio and video files, which you can also trademark. Think of the Intel sound as a trademarked item. And fully modernize that system using complete virtual technology. Some of that is already complete. One of the trademark systems, TSDR, is what we call a two-phase system. We have an internal system that houses all of the data under complete USPTO control and what's known as REST-based technology interfaces that allow a front end hosted in the Google Cloud to access it. So when the public goes to retrieve trademark data, they actually operate their requests in the Google Cloud. And those requests are translated back here to the USPTO, and the data is sent forward to meet the customer's request. The good news about that is the Google Cloud is much simpler to scale and meet the need, not only meet the mandate for the usage of the cloud. And because trademark data is all public from the second you put it in, it meets the security constraints as well. So there are lots of good things going on with trademarks right now. It's a valuable part of our business and things that we do to protect brands across the world for our nation's economy. And, you know, this system will modernize it in such a way that it'll make the brands and protecting brands much easier and simpler across the globe.
It's interesting, you guys, you mentioned you're using the Google Cloud, but the Google Cloud is actually reaching back into the PTO system. Was there a reason why that information just can't live in a public or at least a hybrid cloud?
Data ownership is a big deal, and cloud security is a large unknown. I'm not saying that the cloud is completely unsecure, but I'm kind of saying the cloud's not as secure as we would like. No one would ever want to wake up and read the front page press says all the trademarks are now owned by company X or by person Y because someone hacked the data that was available in the cloud system. So the protecting of the intellectual property and the ownership and the control over the data must be maintained by the agency. I'm not saying that on a private cloud, which we obviously have one here, or a fully federal private cloud, maybe not host here on campus, but for federal agencies only with the right level of controls backed by FSMA and the NIST standards. I'm not saying we would never move to that. Of course, we would if it was economical. But the control of the data, that ownership, has to be maintained to maintain control over whose intellectual property is whose, and that's what this office is all about.
And a lot of that actually doesn't go back to the unknown around cloud about if your data is stored in company X's cloud and they have a servers or data centers all around, not just the U.S., but around the world, which laws apply at which time? I mean, does that play into it too?
For trademark data, not so much, because the data is open to the public. I mean, the second you apply the application, but you'd never want inconsistencies in the data. You wouldn't want to query one database someplace and have the owner be X and another be Y. You need one authoritative centralized source for the information that is 100% accurate and guaranteed. We put out data sets hosted on the web that anyone can draw upon that list the pictures and all of the data associated with all the marks since as far back as I think we can remember. And that's readily available for anyone. So anyone can take a private copy of the information. We do this with patents as well, post 18-month published patents.
All right. Good explanation. I think that helps because people think, well, if it's public information, just put it in the cloud, what's the big deal? But I think that really shapes it in terms of the understanding of why there's certain rules you guys are following and why there's certain things that you need to control. One of the things you mentioned both when you talk about trademarks and you talk about patents is the idea of agile or waterfall approach to systems development. That's something that the White House has been pushing across the government. The CIO Council has been pushing. You guys have been doing this for almost 18 months now. Give me a sense about that process and how it's matured over the last 18 months and how it's really, you guys seen a lot of benefit in both your patent and your trademark system upgrades.
Agile development, as you know, particularly the method we use here is Scrum. It's a rugby term, but those familiar with the different processes will know that it's a description of a particular type of agile where people come together and work collaboratively and from customer to developer to tester to project management every day. And this method, we've been doing a little over 18 months, just shy of 2 years, and we have seen massive improvements with customer satisfaction and a built confidence on iterative releases on a regular schedule. So we do 2 to 4 week sprints depending on the type of project. That's a sprint is a certain amount of time and you get as much done in that time and you go through a customer review, you show your customers. In my case, we show examiner representatives, we show our unions, we show our management, and then you have regular releases. So you do a bunch of those and then you get to a sprint that prepares you for a release and then you release a product. So all of the work that we've been doing on modern replacement of legacy systems with really a new SOA-based architecture, service-oriented architecture, based on development being done in this method, releases relatively often. So as opposed to in the past where customers were like, okay, I have to get every last thing in now because it might be a year or 2 years before I get another release, we've broken out of that culture. Because people see that, well, releases happen every quarter, and I do get what I want, and I know I'm going to get what I want because I see it every week or every 2 weeks, or I get to touch it, or I get to interact with the team, and I know they built it the way I wanted up front, which a lot of people are uncomfortable with because you don't do an immense amount of planning ahead of time like you do with Waterfall. So the reporting process is a lot more unknown, but the results in the end far outweigh that because the customer is with you along the way and they get to see and experience the product as it's being built. And instead of delivering 25 to 50% of what the customer was expecting, you get 90 to 100%. And of course, it also allows them to adjust along the way. If they look at something, they go, no. You know, we're going to tweak our business, and this is what we found with patents with the new end-to-end system. They literally would tweak their business to optimize their business to the IT, which made a lot more sense than trying to wedge the IT into what was a legacy paper-based business. So it allows you to take full advantage of the available functionality of the IT rather than to make your life easier rather than trying to retrofit something out of a paper process paradigm.
How easy has it been to make that move to the Scrum agile development process? I mean, was there a lot of training? Did you have to hire new people in your workforce? Was it contractor supported?
I had to completely recompete my systems development and integration contract, bring in new talent. Of course, the people I hired in the federal government, like myself, all have had experience doing Scrum and or some type of agile development for multiple years before coming here. So I pulled in a lot of outside corporate talent here at the USPTO. We also went through an extensive training program because culturally in the federal government, people are much more comfortable with Waterfall. You know, we do a whole bunch of planning, all of the reporting. In fact, the feedback that I've given to Mr. Van Roekel has been about changing the reporting to meet a modern standard because all of the reporting from OMB, you know, all the inspectors, even our Department of Commerce are all based upon Waterfall standards. We are a little different right now because we're doing it, but more importantly, internally, that constant training, that constant inclusion. One of the biggest things we did was we trained our customers. And And then we actually trained a bunch of our patents customers and trademark customers as scrum masters. And those are the people that really manage the teams. So you'll have a team of 5 to 10 people performing a series of tasks in the form of a couple of week sprints. And the leader of that team was literally our customer. And that really helped to break the ice. It was a lot of trust on both sides, and it was a lot of training. But once we got some volunteers, there was no having a customer say, well, I'm not involved, because they were in charge. And though they relied on a team of people to advise them, giving them that authority and responsibility, the authority to say, no, stop, that's not what I wanted, or we're shifting direction, as long as they stayed within the Agile framework we set up as a unit, really helped build that confidence. And that confidence was significantly lacking in my organization, and in fact, all the USPTO, between the customer and the CIO shop, because so many projects in years past had not succeeded. But when you see a regular release schedule, when you're actively participating, when you're getting the results that you desire, and you're demoing them live once a quarter, you build that foundational layer of trust, and that just helps accelerate the whole thing. So in that first year, it was rough. But in the second year, and like I said, we're almost to the end of it, it has gone incredibly well. And I would contend that it's only going to get better.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some new priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office's Chief Information Officer.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Game over.
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services, so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal. This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, synchronize email and instant messaging over here. Merge web and video conferencing down here. But that leaves mobile, landline, and VoIP phones out of the loop.
Solve your agency's communications challenges with CenturyLink Government Unified Communications. Products that work together and help deploying and maintaining them. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office's Chief Information Officer. Now, John, we've spent a lot of this show talking about your old priorities, the stuff you talked about in our last interview in March 2011. Can you give me a sense of what you're working on now and what you hope to accomplish over the next 6 or 9 months?
One of the big accomplishments that we just had was the complete a replacement of our desktop, if you remember, with a new collaboration suite and a laptop system that allowed our workers to work from anywhere, because we really push hard on the telework options here at the USPTO. And one of the things that it kind of brought to the forefront was most of our legacy technology was client-server based. So there's a heavy client written in a language, everything from Visual Basic to C. And, you know, those clients were not built to work over the internet. Experiencing high latency does not allow an examiner to flip through diagrams, pictures, and pages very fast. So the need to push patents end-to-end and trademark next-gen into the foreground became all that more important, because if we are looking at, as you may know, multiple locations across the United States that the USPTO will have offices, and then not only that, we have a very strong program for telework. I really need to be able to help anyone examine from anywhere within the continental United States. So to do that, patents end-to-end and trademark next-gen are based on all web-based technologies, utilizing HTML5 web browsers that support that, Chrome, Firefox, IE10, and, you know, technologies and software written in Java that will allow us to do smart things like pre-caching of data and so on and so forth. So we have shifted focus now from that infrastructure to building these applications. And then, of course, what are the new things we can do? We're converting all of our patent data from pictures of paper to text. That text is tagged in XML, and then, of course, once you have it tagged in XML, you can do automated processing. And some of that automated processing can remove some of the mundane work for an examiner and make it easy. We've sent out some legacy system application upgrades to simulate this to see how examiners use it. And like I said, we're going to release come November and then quarterly after that, new features and functions to examiners, first on a trial basis, a group of examiners that volunteer, and then later to the entire core in April of next year, the new patent send-to-end suite, which will replace their ability to just look at pictures with the ability to look at text and write office actions and take notes and complete a whole electronic workbook per application that's completely storable, transferable, and maintainable long term rather than on paper.
So if you're moving to the e-workbook, everything web-based, how's it done now? I mean, you said that a lot of things are pictures, you know, regular files that people can look at, the black and white. Do they have to print everything out, and is everything handwritten? How is it done now compared to how it will be done?
So the examination takes place on pictures of paper in what's known as TIFF format, or very old format. They are black and white. And any notes that an examiner has on a particular case are handwritten on physical paper. Later, office actions or the responses to applicants happen electronically, but that's through a completely separate system. So the very first stage of patent send-to-end takes the ability to look at a patent application, do some basic functional work, take notes on that work, search being a separate application at this point in time, and then taking those notes to automatically generate a framework for an office action. And then, of course, we just released a new product on the web that provides a fully searchable, indexable, web-based manual of patent execution, patent prosecution, or MPEP, and all of that data is also incorporated into the new system. So no longer will an examiner have to sit back with pen and paper and take notes. It will be seamless, which has several benefits. Let's say the examiner is no longer here for some reason, or they get ill, and there's something that needs to be done on a particular patent. All of their notes, their ideas, their thoughts, their flows, they're all electronically stored, and then can be used by the next examiner that picks it up. Instead of hand notes being written who knows where on any particular topic, we can keep that flow going. Not to mention the management aspect, knowing what docket has what patent on it and easily transfer those patents if a problem occurs or, you know, there's a priority that comes in. So that full docket management functionality will also be in there, though that's a management function, not an examiner function. It's just as important to keep the process moving smoothly.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is John Owens, the Patent and Trademark Office's Chief Information Officer. John, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The show has been sponsored by CenturyLink. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can hear the show in its entirety on demand or podcast on federalnewsradio.com.